Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
On today's Pardon My Take, divisional round recap. We have every game recapped. We have the championship weekend set, championship Sunday, an unbelievable two games ready to go. Old guard, new guard. Very, very excited. We're going to break down every game. We're going to talk a little coaching carousel. We're going to talk a little football guy of the week, who's back of the week. A packed show for you. And whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent, all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 for free, $10 to ASPCA. Today is Monday, January 18th. NFL playoffs. Super divisional round. Final four set. Oh, we start in the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, where Cam Akers is the place to be. As the Rams tried to plow their way in the run game, the pregame weather was snowing in Van Halen as David Lee Goff told his teammates might as well jump. But it was the Packers players in the end zone Saturday. In a look ahead to next week's inauguration, Aaron Donald Trump refused to show up while Joseph Day was getting all the attention. The Dukes of Hazzard are speeding towards the NFC Championship as they've had a generally easy path to the Super Bowl. Packers 32, Rams 18.
In Western New York, mama take these folding tables from me. I feel like I'm Dawson knocks, knocks, knocksing on heaven's door. Bill Maher Jackson had a vulgar performance on late night television that left some people wondering if he was actually alright. Josh Personality gave the Ravens defense the Diggs Myers test, throwing extroverts to his wide receiver. Tyrannosaurus Johnson used his tiny little hands to intercept a pass and outran Ref Goldblum and the entire Ravens offense for the win. And the Buffalo Bills are heading to the AFC Championship game
as no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
The Bills 17, the Ravens 3.
In Kansas City, where it was a tale of two quarterbacks with Virgin Mahomes and Chad Henne, Baker Mayfield had his receivers picking up all the cognac, and Rashard Higgin and Juice played great, but after Mahomes took a nasty shot, the Chiefs just laid back and sipped on Chad Hennessy, sealing a third straight AFC Championship game at Arrowhead. I'm going to go off script here. We're going to go down to the field to a woozy, concussed Patrick Mahomes.
Hey, guys, I think I'm counting back from 7.
All right, thank you, Patrick. Chiefs 22, Browns 17.
I love it.
We don't laugh about concussions. That wasn't a joke.
I feel good. Coach Reed,
he'll be back.
Gave me a big bear hug after the game. He said, Patrick, you're my best good boy. I said, thanks, Coach. Love it.
Standing on a corner, Jameis Winston down in NOLA. Such a fine sight to see. There's a QB loose and a CD deuce and a guy they call Playoff Lenny. Come on, Drew, don't look so blue. By the time you're on TV, your ribs will feel like new.
Saints, don't go marching. Tom Brady, the ageless wonder. God's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 30-20.
All right, divisional round in the books. We have our championship Sunday set. Unbelievable matchups. We'll get to that.
It was, I think, the best 2 days of quarterbacks in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, and the games actually kind of stunk.
Who cares?
Doesn't matter.
Who cares?
Doesn't matter. That wasn't a
Stanley,
complaint.
Who cares?
That was just...
No, you sounded like you were complaining.
No, that wasn't a complaint. I watched every second. I loved every second. But wouldn't you agree that... they weren't like, there was no instant classics, but it doesn't matter. It does not matter.
It was playoff football, and it was names. It was just, there were so many names mm-hmm. that were out there. If you look at the quarterbacks, like, the worst one has still won a Super Bowl, and then the second worst one was an MVP last year, and then you've got some all-time greats like Chad Henne.
Yeah, Chad Henne. All right, so we're going to get to every game. We'll start with the game we just watched. The Bucs and the Saints. Tom Brady versus Drew Brees. Both didn't look great, but Drew Brees clearly looked very washed. Now, I'm going to take the high road because I have been on the Drew Brees' wash train for 2 years now, and I've said that the Saints have a Super Bowl roster, and the only thing that's holding them back is Drew Brees. Oh, hey, Jameis Winston came in for one pass, touchdown, not a coincidence. Obviously, it was a trick play. Whatever. Drew Brees is a legend. He's a Hall of Famer. What he's done for the city of New Orleans. Like, much as I want to be like, oh, I told everyone, I'm not, because Drew Brees, like, it was sad. There was a moment where it was kind of sad to see him go out because it was clear, like, he can't throw the ball over 15 yards. His mind is still there, but he doesn't have any of the physical abilities, and that cost the Saints the game.
Yeah.
Like, Drew Brees, unfortunately, lost them the game. Like, their defense was game.
Drew Brees
kept them in it.
He could step in immediately and be a great offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't have to do anything physical. He's like a Stephen Hawking type that you could just... put out there, and he could. You're right. His brain is still like next level, but it almost makes it that much more cruel when you
right.
see his brain still being so sharp, and his body is just like, I can't make. I'm going to still try to do what's natural to me, but he almost didn't really recognize his limitations that much. At least over the course of the last, like, I don't know, 10, 12 weeks, you squatted on a take, which I appreciate because you were like a year.
Last year was the same thing.
You were like a year and a half early on the take.
No, I actually don't think so. I think I was actually right on time because what I've said time and time again is Drew Brees, his mind is one of the best minds out there in terms of seeing defenses, reading defenses, doing all this stuff. When you put him in a regular season game and he's playing against a middle of the pack to lesser defense, he will rip them up. It doesn't matter that he can't throw deep. When it gets to playoff football and you have to make those throws that are 20 yards down the field, 25 yards down the field, when you have to be able to hit those few home run balls that can actually change a playoff football game, he hasn't had it for 2 years. And that's just kind of been like what I've seen as the limitation for a really good roster and a really good team in the Saints. And you even see like Sean Payton trying to, you know, the Jameis Winston play was very indicative. It's like essentially, hey, we need to pull seven points out of our fucking ass. Here it is, Jameis Winston. Like, there's a reason why Drew Brees wasn't throwing those deep bombs. There's a reason why Drew Brees couldn't push the ball down the field. And it sucks because he's a Hall of Famer. And again, I think that it's very short list of guys who mean as much to a city as Drew Brees in New Orleans. Like, that connection is something that's on a different level, and I totally understand it, and everything post-Katrina, so I'm not going to sit here and be like, you know, Drew Brees so fucking... Like, he had a Hall of Fame career. It doesn't end this way for... You know, it's not... Everyone's not Elway. Fucking Dan Marino lost 70-7 in his last game, or some crazy 63-7. Like, even Peyton won a Super Bowl, but we saw that with Peyton. Like, he wasn't the same.
Right.
And Tom Brady, like, he wasn't extra sharp. He can still throw deep.
I think that Drew Brees in his last game is better than Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl that they won.
Yeah, probably
like,
right.
Drew Brees is still like, he can still function and throw passes. Like,
right.
That Super Bowl was tough to watch with Peyton, but he just managed the game. I actually think that Peyton Manning's head was so far ahead of the game that he was able to recognize the fact that his head was so far ahead of the game.
Yeah.
And was able to tell his body, hey, man, you can't do all the weird shit that you used to be able to do. But, yeah, Drew Brees, I mean, he had a great run. It was sad when he was walking off the field. He turned back, looked back at the field. One last, you see that he like took in the Superdome, checked
sad
for
I can't any, bet ex- against him
any extra ribs that he left there on the field, wanted to check and make sure he scooped everything up. And yeah, it was obvious that when Jameis was coming in the game, it's because Jameis can still fucking throw the air out of the football.
And that
ball, I think that one pass made Jameis Winston $25 million next year.
I don't know about that much,
no,
but it definitely...
Whoever comes in second with the Deshaun Watson jackpot, they're going to have to pony up some cash for Big J-Dog.
Well, he should be on the Saints. And, like, I do actually think that if Jameis Winston plays that game, starts that game, like, obviously we've seen bad Jameis, but he gives them something totally different that they just don't have. Like, when every single pass is 8 yards, it's a lot easier to defend you. And it actually, like, so Drew Brees clearly doesn't have the physical ability anymore. It was kind of sad to see. It also puts into perspective how absurd it is that Tom Brady is still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He's fucking 43 years old, and he didn't have his sharpest game, but he can still push the ball down. Like, that pass he made to Godwin, that Godwin caught and then dropped, like, that was a dime. Down the field. Like, it's...
Yeah, it also had another one that Gronk usually hangs on to.
It's crazy that he's still doing this. Like, it's actually insane, the fact that he is playing at this level. And it's not prime. It's not like he's in his prime. But the fact that he's still playing, like, playoff-winning level football is fucking crazy.
You know how we talk about how Kirk Cousins looks smaller now as he gets older? I actually think Tom Brady looks taller.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's lost weight and he's skinnier, if his neck grew. By the way, all-time neck on Drew Brees.
Well,
he's gotten emaciated recently.
Do you think there's someone who's sitting there, some like draft guy who's like, told you Drew Brees, short quarterbacks can't win, like after 20 years of Drew Brees breaking every record?
Oh,
like, see,
I think it's probably,
because it is,
no, you know who it is, it's Nick Saban being like, see, I was right to pass on Drew Brees, I knew that his shoulder wouldn't hold up in the long term, that's why we took Dante Culpepper.
It's so Drew Brees had, looking at his stats, it's crazy. Everyone knows all the records that he's set, but he led the league in passing 7 years in his career. He led the league in touchdowns 4 years, and he led the league in completion percentage 6 years. Like, he's a Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer. That's not a hot take, obviously. It's crazy how good and long of a career was, especially considering the fact that he was, you know, cast off after his shoulder injury. Do you think, though, like, what's the vibe for Saints fans when they look back and they're like, we had Sean Payton and Drew Brees for 15 years and we won one Super Bowl?
Can we get a vibe check on the state of New Orleans? I think they'll be happy.
I think today they're happy, but in 5 years they're going to look back and be like, wait, we won one Super Bowl?
No, here's why. Because the Saints can always fall back on being like, we got fucked out of at least two other Super Bowls. They can claim the Super Bowl that the Rams went to on that pass interference call. In their own head, they could be like, yeah, we should have made the Super Bowl, and we would have scored more than 15 points against the... Was it 3 to 10? Was it Super Bowl? 13-3. New Orleans could be like, we would have scored 15 points in that game and won the Super Bowl. So that's theirs. And then they can always have the Minnesota miracle and be like, yeah, you know what? The Eagles ended up winning the Super Bowl over the Patriots. We would have won that too. So that's technically like three titles for New Orleans.
Still doesn't
Plus,
count.
They had a lost year. Plus they had
Still
a lost
doesn't
year.
Count.
I'm just telling you, you can look
no,
back
I know,
and you can talk away some of those years. They're not no way big. You're out of your mind if you think that New Orleans fans will look back and be like, man, that could have been a lot better. They are so pumped to get that one.
Oh, I think
one.
That's not crazy at all. That's being a sports fan. To look back and be like, 15 years of Sean Payton and Drew Brees and we won one. I'm not saying it's tomorrow. I'm not saying, like, this will be a celebration of Drew Brees in New Orleans, I would assume. But I would absolutely, if you ask the Saints fan, like, hey, that was incredible, awesome memories. But there's definitely a small part of you that's saying to yourself, shit, how do we only win one? That absolutely exists. That has to exist.
I mean,
that's a real sports
fan. If you look at, like, millions of people, there are going to be some people that have that. But I'm just saying, like, the ability to look back and be like, the league fucked us out of three other Super Bowls is going to be – that's going to be a nice little salve. That's going to be a nice little ice bath to ease themselves into Drew Brees heading off for the hills. But at any rate –
do you think his shoulder was hurt?
I mean, I think that his shoulder is just permanently hurt now.
Yeah. His shoulder has definitely been hurt for a very long time.
Since 2006,
well,
2007?
No, but it's been very hurt the last couple of years.
Yeah, Yeah, no, it's been bad. He lost like all his arm strength in the last couple years.
Yeah,
and wasn't able to throw downfield. But let's not bury the lead here. Playoff Lenny came to play today. Fucking Playoff Lenny. I hate Playoff Lenny. First of all, he stomped my football team last week when I was ecstatic that they were feeding him the ball all the time. I'm like, this is how you beat the Buccaneers if they keep giving Leonard Fournette the ball. And then this week, I put my biggest bet of the year in on the Bucks, on the Saints, and then Playoff Lenny stomps my heart out.
Tough to beat a team three times, though.
It is.
But they were matched up. They matched up well.
They matched up better than I thought. How do you not complete a single pass to Michael Thomas?
Because he can't fucking throw.
That's insane.
Like
Michael Thomas
throw.
Isn't
I've been
exactly
saying for 2 years.
He's
can't
not exactly
throw.
Like a downfield threat. He's a guy. You should, if you can throw the ball 15 yards in the air, you should get the ball to Michael Thomas at least three times.
I mean, Saints fans actually should be sitting here being like, "Hey, you know what would have been even worse is winning this game in a fluky like 20-17, and then having to watch Drew Brees in Lambeau in 20 degrees." Because that would have been a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think that this was bad? That would have been an outright disaster. Because he, like, imagine getting his shoulder loose for that. But yeah, Playoff Lenny. So Joe Buck, he told me earlier this week, he was like, they actually are calling him Playoff Lenny because we gave him so much shit about Playoff Damien last mm-hmm. year.
The big game against Washington last week called him Playoff Lenny. And that's like last year with Playoff Damien of the champion Kansas City Chiefs. There you go, big cat. First down, Tampa Bay.
And it's the dumbest nickname ever. Playoff name is the dumbest nickname ever. But now we're 2-for-2.
Playoff P?
Exactly. Now we're 2-for-2, though, in football, where Playoff Damien was truly Playoff Damien. And then Playoff Lenny,
yeah.
I saw the stat. He's got 6 touchdowns in 5 games.
I fucking hate Playoff Lenny. He's Playoff Lenny.
Lenny
is good.
Yes.
And every other time of year, Playoff Lenny is when he regresses to regular season Lenny, he stinks. And I'm so sure that he's going to go to a bad team. When he ends up going to a bad team, he's going to average like 1.3 yards per carry.
Yeah. Also, the Bucs defense, they fucking hit hard. Like, there were a lot of – I mean, the Saints hit hard too, but the Bucs play a hard-hitting, like, swarm-to-the-ball style of defense where there were a few times where I was like, how the fuck did that guy get up? Because they attack, you know, whoever has the ball.
Yeah, and Devin –
they make mistakes,
Devin,
but they go after people.
Devin White is a thick boy. That dude is big. If that guy hits you – and he was wearing the LSU shoulder pads underneath. A lot of players were doing that, actually.
Yes.
I think, like, every player – that went to LSU, got together on their group chat and was like, hey, we're going to wear the purple and gold underneath our jerseys, and then it's going to show up on TV and people will be impressed. Consider me impressed. It always looks awesome in the dome. He's a hitter. Devin White is a hitter. The defensive line and Ndamukong Suh, JPP, those guys are just big dudes that are fast. They
don't even have Vita Vea.
It honestly should be illegal to be as big as Ndamukong Suh and be able to run like that.
I also have a new most important player on the Bucks guy.
Scotty Miller?
Yes.
Yeah. Scotty
I mean,
Miller. He takes the top off.
There's something about Scotty Miller. Like, they have unbelievable. And Antonio Brown, so he hurt his knee. Did he ever come back in?
I don't know. He dropped one pass out of the backfield.
And I that's going to be something interesting to watch because I do, like, Antonio Brown clearly has a great rapport with Tom Brady and, like, you need all the weapons you can have when you're going up to Lambeau and have to play against that Packers offense. But Scotty Miller, he might be the most important player on the Bucs offense.
Tom Brady
just
always
throw it out there. You know the names, but Scotty Miller.
Julian Edelman is watching the game. Verbal meme, Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the TV, holding
yes,
his beer.
Yes, yes. He made that fucking huge catch. But yeah, it was a sloppy game. It was obviously just all about the turnovers that decided the game. And Drew Brees out. He's going to retire. He officially is retiring, right?
Well, like, Jay Glazer said that he's retiring,
okay,
and Jay
good.
Glazer doesn't get shit wrong.
I think even, like, they should just, everyone should just treat him like he's retiring without him even saying he's retiring so that he will retire.
Yeah. Because he might try.
Yeah,
and
right,
that
exactly.
would be very painful.
Right.
Do you think that his bust in the Hall of Fame is going to have his cool birthmark on it?
Has to.
Yeah, unless Oprah does it.
Has to.
Do you remember, have you seen that video?
What?
Where Drew Brees
went
on
tried
Oprah?
Tried to scrape
and
it
Oprah
off.
Oprah tried to wipe his
yes.
birthmark off and was
yes.
like, you got some lipstick on your face there, Drew.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he. I mean, first ballot Hall of Famer, and now we get to see Brady versus Rodgers in Lambeau. So let's go back in time to Saturday. We'll talk Rams-Packers. It's crazy that this is the first time that Aaron Rodgers is getting a home NFC championship game.
It is.
That's wild. There was a couple of surprising ones. The other one was the fact that the Chiefs are the three home AFC championship games. the first time that's happened in the AFC, which is like... Mm-hmm.
It's like truly the Patriots. Right. Like out of Tom Brady's 14 championship games.
14 is crazy. All right, so Rams-Packers. The Rams tried. They gave it their best effort. Aaron Rodgers is just playing. Aaron Rodgers wasn't even that like sharp. He wasn't perfect Aaron Rodgers. And their offense still... Well, is really, really good.
He was still really good, Aaron Rodgers, and their offense had a few drops.
So no, he wasn't
it
like
been, it could have been.
He wasn't
a lot worse.
You know when Aaron Rodgers is on fire, and he essentially is like you can't. There's nothing you can do because he's just putting it in perfect places. He wasn't that Aaron Rodgers, and they still won this game pretty easily.
You know what it was? It was the fact that they found a way to make amazing offense kind of boring in Green Bay because you watch the Packers and you're like you can't stop them. They're going to be able to score points, but it's still kind of boring to watch them while they're functioning.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you try to just play your safeties deep, then Aaron Rodgers is like, okay, well, I'm gonna get 12 yards every single time I pass the ball.
Well, and also like Aaron Jones was running the ball
like
a fucking maniac.
He was running the ball really well. So, like, everyone was calling Aaron Rodgers the surgeon because he was, like, being very – that's what you say if, like, that's an upgraded dink and dunker. That's, like, expert-level dink and dunking where you have Davante Adams just being able to get separation on a slant and get 14 yards anytime he wants.
Yeah.
So it was a boring offense to watch, but it was a great offense. So like if you're coaching the team, if you're a fan of the team, you're like, yeah, we can't be stopped.
I think it's indicative of like where we're at with football in 2021 is that you had the Rams' best defense coming in. Now, Aaron Donald was clearly hurt because I think he only played half the snaps. Jalen Ramsey wasn't playing his best, but even still, like at this point in time, it used to be the saying, like, you know, good defense trumps all, like, defense wins championships.
Yeah, fact.
That's not the case anymore.
Yeah,
good offense beats good defense in the NFL today.
You know what it is now? It's like a great defense that wins a championship is one that can still give up 30 points, but if you get one touchdown on defense.
Right.
If you're able to, like, get that one interception, jump that one route, it's like, that's now what a great defense is.
How about Sean McVay being such a genius that he somehow made Wildcat work again?
Yeah.
Like, it actually worked, and it was all runs, again, but he ran Cam Akers in the Wildcat, and of course it worked.
Yeah.
I don't know how he did it. It makes no sense. The Wildcat has been dead since, like, the second week of the Wildcat, and somehow Cam Akers running the Wildcat, they scored a touchdown off it. They did it a few times, and it worked every time, and it was a run every time.
Mm-hmm. They also had the sickest play ever, the little hook and ladder.
Yep.
That was a two-point conversion,
yep.
Right? Yeah, that was an awesome play. Again, if you want to win at the next level, if you want to be like the next great offense, start doing more of those laterals.
Yes.
They're awesome. And it's a perfect time to do it when you're down at like the 5-yard line.
Yes.
Because they never see it coming. And everyone's going to crash on that little screenplay. So yeah, Sean McVay, I think he did a good job considering what he had to work with. But
yeah,
I'm going to.
Jared played better than he did the week before. And I mean, his thumb is obviously fucked up. What were you going to say, Hank?
This is kind of an explain it to Hank, but is it hook and ladder or hook and ladder?
Both.
Me and Caleb were having an argument on
this. This is like
shovel.
This is how people sometimes say shuffle pass when it's a shovel pass.
Yeah, it depends on.
I think it just kind of.
It's a regional thing.
It just.
Like
it
coke
ends
and
up
pop.
Being like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And cocaine? Yeah.
I didn't know if there was a definitive answer or not.
I think it's just whatever you want to say.
Because the announcer said lateral, and I was like, whoa.
I think nobody really cares what you say because when you say it, it's right after super exciting play. So no one ever stops to be like, yo, what'd you just call it? They're too busy being like, that was fucking sweet.
Do you know what? So Aaron Rodgers, I hate the guy. Thanks for the $500,000, the Barstool Fund. That was really cool. I think the thing that bothers me the most is that he's so goddamn good, and he like smiles during it. He's just fucking hanging out. He's hanging out, just dominating people in playoff games. He's actually so now it's he's the second all time for guys playoff performances, 250 plus yards and 2 touchdowns. Brady has 17 of those games. Rodgers has 12. Montana has 12. So he just does it, and he looks like he's walking in the park on a Sunday afternoon. Like, it's so fucking maddening. I actually saw, I think Kevin Clark tweeted something about, like, that Aaron Rodgers, he's talked to guys that essentially say it's demoralizing to play against him because he'll have, like, a chit-chat conversation with you while he's beating your brains.
Yeah, the game is so slow for him. He'll be on offense, and he's, like, smiling, looking around, like, cracking little sarcastic jokes before he snaps. He looks like he was playing poker. And if there were, like, 300-pound guys that were trying to hit you at the time, and he's just, like, sitting there just, like, with a dry smile on his face, not phased whatsoever.
I hate him.
Nobody else operates at that same level. And he's like, I don't know, it does seem like it's in slow motion, because Aaron Rodgers always has at least like one or two times a game where he'll catch the other team having like too many men on the field.
It's illegal.
And then I don't know what he does. Does he tell his receivers to like hide between the linemen in the huddle so the other team can't see the personnel that they have on the field? Because he always catches them like that, and then there's always one straggler running off, everyone's confused, and then boom, he's able to throw for like a 40-yard touchdown.
He almost juked out the All-22. Yeah. I saw someone show the All-22, because the All-22 shows the down and distance and then goes back to the field, and he had that quick pass where he juked out the All-22. It's illegal. It's absolutely illegal. There was many times where I said the Packers, they were running plays that they might not have been illegal, but they felt illegal to me. And you know what? At the end of the day, it's about sportsmanship. And if something feels illegal, you should probably just throw a flag, refs.
Well, don't
like
you,
that fucking Devontae Adams, touchdown when he ran across the field in motion, that felt illegal to me. Just throw a flag and try to, maybe just call something.
Well, let me ask you a question, Big Cat. Would you rather beat the other team by running your best plays against their best plays, or would you rather be a little weasel?
Yeah, right. He's a weasel.
He's a weasel.
He's a weasel.
He's definitely he has weaselish qualities about him. That Devontae Adams touchdown, So that was illegal, because Devontae Adams took like a step towards the line of scrimmage as he was in motion. But it is kind of like an interesting hack that some offenses have figured out, which is you can actually have your guy get a running start on a play, like it's the CFL,
mm-hmm.
if you just have them run directly across the field.
Right, and it's pretty much impossible to guard them.
Yeah.
So it was Kevin Clark. He said that opposing players once told me the most frustrating thing about playing Rodgers is how much fun he has. You're right in the you're in the fight of your life trying to slow him, and he's smiling like he's playing pickup hoops. They said it's incredibly demoralizing and makes everything slightly worse. Also separately, Mason Foster told me once that Rodgers would talk Pac-12 football with him in between snaps. Like, it's fucking maddening. And I know he's incredible, blah, blah, blah. That's what you're going to get out of me, Packers fans. He really is. Like, he's playing at an incredible level. The fact that the Packers won this game in relative ease, like the Rams made it, the 7-point game, but it was one of those situations where you just never really felt like the Packers were out of control. And Aaron Rodgers, I don't know, that was probably like a B+. Like, it wasn't, mm-hmm. he has an A+ in him. And when he does an A+, it's literally impossible to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's demoralizing for the opponent and demoralizing for me watching on the couch. And it's illegal.
Yeah, and
it feels illegal.
And you know what? Him being this good, it takes away a lot of the credit from where the credit should be going,
mm-hmm.
which is to that Packers offensive line.
Yeah.
Because those guys are the ones that enable Aaron to play as well as he does.
Yes.
So, like, let's give some real – I would actually say that Aaron Rodgers played a C-minus game.
Yeah.
But the offensive line played an A++.
They were really
plus.
And Aaron Donald being hurt. And Leonard Floyd, like – that was Leonard Floyd I remember, when he got just absolutely juked out of his shoes by Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I don't know why the Rams, it felt like every time they went up-tempo, they had a ton of success, and then they would kind of go back to not going up-tempo. I guess that Rams, like, the Rams season, and I don't know how many Rams fans there are out there, for you guys, for whoever I'm talking to, Jimmy, Robbie,
a couple
Chad,
guys from St. Louis that
couple
still
guys
are hanging
from St.
on
Louis,
to
Toby, you guys, you, the four of you. That's actually a season where it's kind of a lost season because of all the injuries racking up. You lost to the Jets. Cooper Kupp not playing. Like, Cooper Kupp being out, the minute he was out, I think we all said to ourselves, well, that's a really fucking big deal.
Yeah, right after a bet on the Rams.
And Aaron Donald being 50%. I don't know. He was clearly hurt. His only memorable play was actually that when he got a unsportsmanlike conduct.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have one of the best coaches in the league.
I think it's time to ask this question.
Yeah.
If the Packers make it to the Super Bowl, if they win next week,
mm-hmm.
is Matt LaFleur a better coach than Sean McVay?
Matt LaFleur now back-to-back NFC championship games.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think he might be, because McVay got to that Super Bowl on the pass interference call. Laid an egg in the Super Bowl. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know, Sean, you can remember every single play that you've ever been in your entire life, so you probably would agree with me, Sean. But if LaFleur gets there, gets a two NFC championship games in a row, beats his old master on the way there, like, I feel like Matt LaFleur, permission to do another verbal meme?
Yeah.
Not only Matt LaFleur, but Kyle Shanahan. So Splinter with the baby Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Splinter is Sean McVay. The baby Ninja Turtles are Kyle, Matt LaFleur, And then old-ass Splinter, probably with his shirt off, is now Sean McVay with LaFleur and Kyle carrying him off into the distance.
I like that verbal meme. I agree with
that. I just mostly like that meme.
Yeah.
It's a great meme.
It needs to be used more.
Regardless,
I'll show you the way.
It's criminally underused.
Yes.
Wait, that's Mandalorian.
Same thing.
This is the way.
This is the way,
is Mandalorian. Yeah. And guess what? The Packers, I fucking hate this, man. Like, yeah, we all laughed at them for not drafting a wide receiver and drafting a backup quarterback that's not even going to play this year. But turns out they have a fucking enough talent on wide receiver, okay? Whatever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Robert Tonyan just showed up and decided to be the best tight end, not named Greg Kittle. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who will drop a big ball at some point, is faster than everyone on the field. And Davante Adams is incredible. I get it, okay? It all just sucks because the Packers are just a well-run organization through and through, and they just do this. This is what they do. And what do you think? So, like, we have a ton of time to talk about it, but knee-jerk reaction next Sunday, Tom Brady,
Packers
Bucks,
are going to win.
Probably.
Packers are going to win.
Yeah, probably.
Packers are a wagon right now. And they're going to win. It's going to be boring.
Nope. But
they're still going to score 33 points. What, you're back on the Tom?
Yep.
You're on that Tom?
Tom versus Tom.
You want to play a game real quick?
Always.
What's the line?
Oh, what is the line?
Barstool Sportsbook app. The line is up.
6.5.
What is the line?
What is the line?
No, you're insane.
Come on.
No, you're insane.
Come on.
Hank, come on.
Come on. Come on.
Take this seriously.
So much disrespect for your boy, Tom Brady. So much.
3.5.
4.
My book says 3.5.
All right.
Your book is Barstool Sportsbook app.
I'm actually not looking. By my book, I mean my brain.
The Bucks. I actually kind of like the Bucks at 4. I do think the Packers are going to win. I think it's going to be a good game, though. I still think it's
going to be too cold for
you
Tom.
You can't trust your...
It's going to be too cold for Tom.
You talk yourself up against every team playing the Packers, too.
Yeah. Noel, but I didn't with the Rams. I knew deep down.
Hank,
Come on.
You're telling him that you're too biased against Aaron Rodgers as you bet on Tom Brady?
Yeah.
I'm just saying for the people out there, you know, maybe take it with a grain of salt.
Four. You don't think it's going to be a close game?
I think the Bucks are going to win straight
I think
up.
I think it's money insulting, yeah. Hank, that you think that Big Cat can't put aside his personal biases to give a genuine evaluation of the Green Bay Packers.
He can't.
You know who's going to end up in the can't lose parlay though on Sunday? The Green Bay Packers. They can't lose.
They can't.
They can't. It's literally all I have left. It's the only thing I have left. It's my, you know, break glass in case of emergency. It's hiding under the bed, pulling out the gun case, and you open it up, million locks, eye scan, fucking fingerprints, and then I open it up and it just says, "Put the Packers in the can't lose parlay." That's it. That's all I got.
It's the best emotional hedge that you can do. I don't think that Tom Brady's going to be able to play in the cold. It's going to be 24 degrees. It's going to be snowing probably, football weather.
Mm-hmm.
Tom is a California kid that plays in Florida.
Yeah, what's his record in cold?
I don't think he can win a big game in the cold.
There's going to be someone who makes that mistake being like, warm weather Tom Brady going to the cold.
He said he doesn't like playing.
He threw like six touchdowns against the Titans when it was like -25
I don't remember that. When
degrees.
Was that? Hank, we're talking about playoffs. He's
the rest
the
of the team,
NFC,
though.
Okay?
That was
Mike Evans. All right. That's that game. Whatever. Rams fans, don't feel too bad. You got one of the best coaches in the league. And Packers, whatever. Deal with you on Sunday.
You just said,
can't lose parlay.
You just talked about Mike Evans being like a warm weather guy, which he is.
Yeah.
But every time I see the Bucs take the field, I always expect DeSean Jackson to run like five routes.
Yes.
Like, okay, he'll get one touchdown.
Yes. All right, before we get to the next game.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Ravens Bills. Whew. This one was one of those games that wasn't good, but boy, did it have dramatics.
Yeah.
So
had a little bit of everything.
Had a little bit of everything. The first half. Now, the wind was a factor. Someone reminded me of my take that the wind with no fans, with less than, you know, a full house, will be whipping more. I think we saw it, even though there were 7,000 Bills Mafia fans that sounded like 70,000.
Well, I was very woke on the NFL reporting the attendance at Lambeau Field to be like 9,000. I was like, no, there are 30,000 people there.
Easily.
In Buffalo, when they said that there were, what, 7,000?
6,700.
There were 7,000. They were just, Buffalo fans
really
are
loud.
Drunker.
Really
and they're
loud.
Louder.
Really
so,
loud.
Yes, that was, it was a home field advantage. I do like to take that enough bodies will just stop the wind.
Mm-hmm.
But in Buffalo, as we discussed with the GI issues, the gastrointestinal stuff, they're all farting up there. So mm-hmm. it probably makes up for a little bit of that.
But Bills Mafia going to an AFC championship game. First time since 1994 when they played the Chiefs. So Jim Kelly beat Joe Montana. You're going to have another Josh Allen versus another future Hall of Famer in Patrick Mahomes, both Hall of Famers. But this game, so the first half was like a total rock fight, missed field goals. I'd never seen Justin Tucker. Like, it was weird. It felt like we broke through the matrix when we see Justin Tucker miss two kicks.
In a row,
doink him. Shout out to Buffalo Bills fans. Roan did a video. Those guys are incredible. They basically go up to the screen and they push.
They can make the ball change direction.
They swipe the screen. They did it twice.
Nobody has a bewildered face like Justin Tucker does after he
incredible.
Misses. He just stares up at the sky and he's like, he's talking to God. He's like, Father, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
Like, you're nailing me to the crossbar now. Is
yes.
what you're doing.
Yes. And then, so The Bills' defensive plan was incredible. Leslie Frazier, like the blitzing of Lamar Jackson. We'll get to Lamar and we'll get to the offensive line. Like the center, I don't know what he was doing. That was crazy. He just snaps all over the place. I didn't understand at all what the Bills' offense was doing in the first half. They did one designed run play, two run plays total. Brian Daboll, I think he forgot that he was trying to be a head coach. And at halftime, he figured out, oh, yeah, I'm actually interviewing for head coaching jobs. Maybe I should try to...
Well, they had a new running back, which was part of the issue. But
still,
the rest was, you know what, we're going to go out there. We're going to play
in the wind,
static smash-mouth football.
In the wind.
We're going to try to pass the ball every single time. You saw in the second half.
They ran it.
Once they ran the ball,
yeah.
The offensive line started high-fiving each other afterwards. Like, do you know how bad that must suck to be an offensive lineman and just do nothing but pass block?
It's actually my biggest, like... critique on analytics Twitter, and we love Warren Sharp, but people who are pass, it's more efficient. You forget the human element, like you just said. If you can't, like, if you ask offensive linemen to just go backwards an entire game, eventually it's going to really suck and wear them down. They need to go forward. Kyle Long, you say it all the time, like going forward and punishing the guy who's been coming after me all game feels good, and it's important for the offensive line to have that feeling every few plays.
The human body was meant to move forward, not backward. If you look at how we walk, there's a reason we don't walk around backwards.
It's true. So the offense. So then the second half starts. The Bills' offense looks great with their drive. The Ravens' offense looks great with their drive, and then you get the Lamar Jackson pick six, which. The presence of mind to return that was incredible. Like, most guys just down that. And the Bills' defense was insane. So that 101-yard run back essentially ended the game. Lamar's concussion really ended the game. But in a game that felt like it was a rock fight and whoever makes the big mistake, that was the big mistake and it was over.
That interception, you're right. So when you usually catch that on like the 1 yard line or 1 yard deep into the end zone, most guys, they get out like 5 or 6 yards because the first instinct is to run with the ball once they catch it. But then once they get out a little bit, they usually give one glance behind themselves to look back at the goal line and be like, ah, shit, I should have stayed in there because they're about to get tackled. Teron Johnson, he ran like Don Beebe was chasing him.
It was crazy.
He was like, I'm going to take this motherfucker to the house. It was the best play maybe in the history of the Buffalo Bills postseason.
Yeah. I mean,
there was that one pass to the fullback that Josh Allen threw last
year.
Yes,
that was. Frank Reich's comeback was pretty crazy.
That was also pretty. It was awesome to see, though. The entire game switched on that. Although, I don't know why. I never felt like the Bills were really in jeopardy, and it's mostly because Lamar was so limited in what he could do. And he does need receivers. He needs help.
No, so, all right.
Lamar needs help.
I
still think Lamar Jackson is like a top 10 quarterback to have on your team. I would take him on my team unless I had actually probably like top 7 or 8 guys.
So here's where I'm landing on Lamar. And I've done a lot of thinking about it. And I want it on the record. Like, last year I said the Ravens were frauds. They were frauds. This year, I thought their defense was playing great. Their defense did play very well against Josh Allen and the Bills on Saturday night. Like, they kept him in the game. Their offense wasn't able to, you know, that one play essentially flipped the entire game. Lamar, to me, is, you're right, he needs receivers. He probably needs some, you know, they had some offensive line injuries. I think the issue with Lamar is when he won the MVP and how good he was that year, everyone immediately jumped to, like, Lamar. He is probably, if you want to say, like, one of the he's probably the second best playmaker. Like, if you want to say playmaker, mm-hmm. he's probably the second best behind Patrick Mahomes. But all-around quarterback, he is still limited as a thrower. And I think we all threw him in the camp of, like, he's the type of quarterback like a Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Tom Brady in his prime, who can elevate his entire team. I think he's more in the category of, if you can put the right talent around him, he can win a Super Bowl with the right like he needs the help. He needs some receivers. He needs some offensive line help. He needs all that. Whereas when he won the MVP and how great he was, we thought, oh my God, this guy is incredible. He can kind of do it all.
Yeah, I also think he needs to be in a system that changes every single year. Like the offense, Greg Roman hasn't really changed his offense around that much from year to year. And yeah, he won the MVP in this offense last year, and he excelled at it. But if you give coaches like an entire offseason to study that offense and learn exactly like the weaknesses they were exploiting, they're going to be able to stop it at least a little bit better the next year. They're not going to be able to shut you right down, but they're going to get incrementally better year after year. Greg needs to let go. He needs to take an ayahuasca trip every single summer.
Yep.
And just be like, okay, I need to start thinking. I need to start asking myself the question that that the other defensive coordinators are asking themselves a year ahead of time so that I can adjust my offense for what they're going to be doing to me.
Yes. Lamar, like, you know what really it comes down to is Bill Polian ruined it for everyone. Because when he did the he's a wide receiver, not a quarterback, it basically put everyone into their defined areas of, like, this is what I think about Lamar. When in reality, Lamar is one of the best playmakers and also a limited passer. Like, it's okay to say those two things, but for some reason it's not to online. You know what I mean? Like, because it was like Lamar's not a quarterback. Then he wins MVP, and so everyone's like, oh, he's not a quarterback? That's fucking crazy. I can't believe you said he wasn't a quarterback. Well, now he's back to somewhere in the middle where it's like he's a work in progress as a quarterback,
you know what it is?
But he's an unbelievable playmaker.
I think anytime you talk about a black quarterback, there's going to be race components to it. And Bill Polian planted like an entire flag, and then now
he ruined it for everyone.
Anytime you want to critique Lamar, then it becomes a race issue. It devolves into being a race, which it shouldn't be.
No.
In fact, what we're here to do, we're here to break all that down. Let's just break all that down. Bill Polian, it's like Bill Polian tried to put everybody in a black and white category. That's not a racial comment. A black and white category of, like, if you think that Lamar is bad in any way at throwing the football,
right,
then that can be construed as racist.
It's crazy. It's
and
crazy.
If you think the other way, it can go the opposite way. Like, you can overpraise Lamar for being a great quarterback when sometimes he's not a great quarterback throwing the ball. And once he won that MVP, then I think the conversation was like, well, if you don't think that he's a completely finished product as a passing
right
quarterback, then that's a race issue on you. And I don't think that it's that cut and dry about anything.
No.
It never should be. In
it
fact,
never should.
It's like the what's the scale that they use for human sexuality, the Kinsey scale?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like Bill Polian is like the, I'm going to tuck my T-shirt into my pleated khakis every day, and I'm over here saying I'm 100%
lawnmower.
I've never even looked at a dude.
Uh-huh.
That's how straight I am.
Yep.
And so
I can't be in a room with a woman one-on-one because I'll fuck her.
Yeah. I was never afraid of girls, yeah, even when I was 3 years old.
Right.
And I met Leslie at the pool. That's Bill Polian. But it's not like that. It's not like that at all.
No.
Lamar is limited in some things. I think putting him up in Buffalo against that defense and the elements exploited his weaknesses,
right,
including his diarrhea, which I still think he had a little bit of the butt juice.
And what happened is when he wins the MVP, everyone who is on the other side of the spectrum with Lamar, who's essentially like, Lamar's incredible, Lamar is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, like, no, he's not. He's one of the best playmakers.
Yeah.
He's still got a long way to go as an actual passer. Guess what, though? Josh Allen, a year ago, 2 years ago, like, he had a long way to go as a passer. It happened,
yep,
for him. He got a deep threat. He's gotten worlds better. He is a legitimate, like, MVP candidate. It's It really is weird because Lamar won an MVP so early and he did deserve it and he was so fucking good that year that everyone was like, well, there it is. Case closed. Yep. Lamar is the best. But it's you watch it and you're like, no, there are throws that he can't make or throws that he misses that you need to be able to make to win a Super Bowl. And winning Super Bowl is really hard. I'm not saying like it also becomes this like, well, he's a bust because he's, you know, 1-3 in the playoff football is really fucking hard, but it's clear that he has work to do to get to the level of like this guy is now a real threat every year to win a Super Bowl just by what he does.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Big Cat.
And you know what? The Ravens are going to be in an interesting spot because I think next year they have one last go at it and then they're going to be in salary cap hell. So it will be interesting to see. I really thought their defense was playing phenomenal. Yes. Like, I did not think that they were. I thought they found themselves a little bit. They weren't what they were last year in that, you know, the fraudulent, like, front runners. So, we'll see. It's got to suck to be a Ravens fan and watch that game, too, when you're right. Like, the Bills really did kind of have control, but it really was a rock fight that came down to who was going to make a huge error, mm-hmm. and the Ravens made the huge error.
Say something nice about the Ravens. Nobody wears a mask. Like John Harbaugh wears a mask.
Yes.
That he covers up his whole face.
He can't see anything.
He's got the entire dome covered on that.
Now go ahead.
I was just gonna say I wanna address what the Bills did for Lamar after he got knocked out of the game.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Bills Mafia.
Yes.
I love Bills Mafia. We love you guys like none other. They started donating to Lamar Jackson's charity, I think in increments of $8,
which is great.
But it's
so
also
much.
A little bit emasculating.
It's the most patronizing
like
move of all time.
We just beat you. Now we're going to donate a shitload of money to your charity so that not only will we send you home, but in a couple of days, you're going to have to acknowledge us and thank us for beating you and then paying money to your charity. Like, I don't know who's in charge of the Chad Henne Foundation, but they've got to be forecasting an incredible fiscal year right now.
I would be so mad if I were Lamar. I mean, I would be happy that I was getting donations to my foundation, but deep down, I'd be like, God damn it.
Yeah, also shout out to Lake Erie for bringing a little bit of the snow.
Yes.
Lake of the year.
Let's talk about the Bills real quick. The Bills are a complete team, and I say that like no duh, but their offense wasn't very, like it wasn't great on Saturday night. It wasn't A-plus against the Colts. They're playing fucking awesome defense. And they're winning. Like, whenever a team starts winning games in different ways, you just look at it and you're like, okay, they have everything. Like, maybe you wish they had a little bit more of a running game, but they have everything. And it's crazy to me that the Bills, I never thought I'd be sitting here saying the Bills are in the AFC Championship game and they haven't even come close to playing their best playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have not played their best playoff game. They have not played a complete game of football on both sides, these playoffs. So if they do it and they have it in them, watch the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like there's part of me that I don't know what's going to happen with Mahomes in the concussion. I think he'll play. I might be getting way ahead of myself, PFT. There's part of me that thinks the Bills might fucking blow out the Chiefs.
If Patrick Mahomes doesn't play,
no,
I think that they will.
I'm saying the Bills have if they put together their full
right. You're talking about you're talking about those Bills.
I'm like saying if you're a Bills fan,
week 12 through 16, those Bills can absolutely blow.
This
up the
is
Chiefs.
All awesome. You like we did the speech last week, but if you're a Bills fan, I don't know if you've been sober in 2 weeks. You shouldn't be. Enjoy the ride. This is why you watch shitty teams. This is why you go through the lean years for this fucking run. But if you're also a Bills fan, in the back of your mind, you're saying, we haven't even begun to peak in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't actually played a great, complete, full game of football. And I know they have it in them. Hank, you kind of looked at me like you're crazy. I maybe I am. Maybe I'm a little crazy. And guess what? They could come out and lay a dud. But I'm saying, I don't think a lot of people are telling themselves there's any possibility the Bills could blow out the Chiefs. I'm saying there is. That world does exist. They have that in them.
Buffalo.
They have that in them.
That's it.
No. Okay. No.
They have that in them.
Hank, you're wrong.
I'm sorry, they do.
The way that they played in the second half of the season, those Bills can absolutely go out there and blow the Chiefs out.
They didn't. Their offense looked lost in the first half. They won
Bills
this game.
And those Chiefs, you saw those Chiefs this year where they took their foot off the gas and got too cute with it. If that's the Chiefs team that matches up against the Bills team that we know exists somewhere inside there, it can absolutely be a blowout.
They just played really good defense against two polar opposites in the Colts and the Ravens. And guess what? The Ravens and the Colts are the two best AFC defenses that are not named the Bills right now. Like, mm-hmm. those teams play good defense, and they beat them both. I'm just saying, who knows? That's why they play the game. But if I wouldn't be shocked. That's all I'm saying. I would not be shocked if the Bills dominated the AFC Championship game. I wouldn't be like, oh, my God, where'd this come from? I really think they have that in them as a complete football team.
One thing I love about Josh Allen is that even in a down performance, the quarter second after he releases a throw, if they can synthesize a drug that makes me feel the way I feel when that happens,
mm-hmm.
like, I will spend all my money on it. It's an incredible feeling because that ball can go literally anywhere on the field.
Yes.
He can hit, if there's like a spray chart, Josh Allen could hit, if he's like within 70 yards of the goal line, the ball could be going anywhere, and something awesome is very much liable to happen. And I don't know what it is about his deep balls, but they seem to get faster as they travel through the air.
There was what hurricane, he threw a fucking hurricane last night.
Yeah.
It was a hurricane.
Yeah, it was.
It was a literal hurricane. He was knifing balls
through. Him against Mahomes is going to be like the strongest arm quarterback matchup ever.
So excited.
Very excited.
What's the line?
What is the line? 2.5.
2.5 is right.
2.5 for the Chiefs. Now, if Patrick Mahomes doesn't play, I feel like the Bills should be favored.
Yes.
They'll be favored by probably 2.5.
Yeah. 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 I mean, Chad Henne, though. He was fucking awesome.
He was.
Chad Henne was awesome.
I also want to give a special shout-out to Bills Mafia because they reinvigorated my love of the signs that they show in the stands that have the network letters on them.
When
people make like an acrostic poem out of NBC
mm-hmm.
or CBS
mm-hmm.
or ESPN,
yeah,
I love the creativity. Like somebody had one that said something like, nothing like blue cheese and Cole Beasley.
Watching a game in Buffalo is like going back in time to like 1998 Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's amazing.
Like I actually wouldn't be shocked if last night there was at least a handful of suck it to like suck it Lamar
yes.
signs.
There are definitely some like Looney Tunes crossover cartoons with Bill's like Bugs Bunny rocking Zubaz pants. Taz, I bet you there's a shitload of Buffalo Bills Taz merchandise out there.
I've talked myself into the Bills, man.
Whew. Yeah.
Because they haven't played great. They really haven't. Like, they weren't dominating the Ravens. And they didn't dominate the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is, you know, short-sighted me because maybe that's just they're not as complete of a team as I think. But I think they have it in them. I think deep down, they look in the mirror. It's in there.
I think they're special.
I think it's in there.
I think they're
I really
team.
Do. I think it's in there.
Stephon Diggs, hot mic awareness.
Yes, Jake,
great catch.
Great uh-huh. catch by you as well. All right, before we get to the last game, 2020 is finally behind us, and we're looking ahead to 2021. What do you say?
I was just going to say, Stephon Diggs might be the nicest person in the NFL.
That relationship
is the nicest
is the best.
Guy.
That's the best.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay. The last game. The Browns, the Chiefs. God damn it, was this depressing for the Browns, because that's a winnable game.
They had it.
That's a winnable game, and Kevin Stefanski, I do not understand why you punted.
Yeah, the punt wasn't awful. I actually think the timeout was worse than the punt.
Well, they come together. If they had three timeouts, I can understand punting. They had one timeout. They burned the extra timeout. They burned on a bad challenge, and they burned their first time on a bad challenge, their second timeout on that last drive. So they have one timeout. There's no worse loss in football than punting to the opponent and never getting the ball back.
Yeah.
It is the worst feeling to just sit there and be like, okay, they need a first down, they got it, game over.
That's Chad Henne football. You don't want to see the ball, the game end with Chad Henne holding the ball in victory formation. That's got to be demoralizing.
Here's what I don't understand. So I hated this isn't revisionist history. I hated the punt right when it happened. What I didn't understand was when they burned that second time out, we were sitting there watching. I said out loud, well, this got to be four down territory for the rest of the game for them. They then start the first down, first and 10. They go run for no gain, pass, punt. I don't understand why they didn't just say, hey, this is four down territory. We have information that the Chiefs don't have because they don't know that we're going to go four downs. We know we're going to go four downs. Let's fucking run the ball on second down. Catch them off guard. Like, they just ran it so regular and, like, it felt like it had no urgency.
They were doing a lot of wide runs. So they were doing a lot of tosses and weird stuff like that
sucked,
took forever
man.
To develop. Yeah, just get downhill. Run the damn ball, Brown.
And what's two first downs beat you anyway. So if you go for it and you don't get it, like, the worst that can happen is the game's over, which happened anyway. Like, you okay, they kick a field goal. Bucker already missed one. Even if he hits it, you're only down eight, and you still have some time left. I hated that. I hated that, especially because that was such a, like, incredible year for them. Kevin Stefanski is coach of the year consideration, probably coach of the year, and it felt like he turtled a little bit in that situation.
Getting a Bills-Browns AFC Championship game would have been everything. It would have been so amazing to watch those two fan bases. Like, the Bills should have, in solidarity, opened up half their stadium like the Rose Bowl to Browns fans.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be like, hey, we get it. You guys have been there for a long time. I just want to see both those fan bases get to move on. But the Browns, you've got a lot to look forward to, I guess.
Baker was good.
You've got Baker. Baker was awesome
today. He answered
today.
The critics.
He was awesome today.
He was throwing
fucking dimes.
Yes, he totally answered the critics.
They had some drops today, but he was really, really good. Kareem Hunt with a revenge game.
I saw that going around.
The revenge game.
It's not a revenge game if you get cut from a team because you kicked a woman.
He's like, hey, you know what?
That's not what a revenge game is.
Fuck the Chiefs. They kicked me when I was down, so I'm coming back. Wait, no, I probably shouldn't put it that way.
Not a revenge game. So the big story coming out of this game, obviously, yeah, Baker was great, though. Like, it was great to see Baker kind of have this season and then have that game where, you know, I think he had one interception, but he was throwing dimes around the field. He was making big plays. He looked comfortable. That was the big question mark for the Browns, like, going forward. I didn't think it was a question mark, but obviously people did, where last year he wasn't great. Was like, is Baker our guy? Baker's your guy.
Yeah.
Baker is your guy. As definitive as can be, Baker is your guy. If you can get any type of defense around that offense, you guys are going to be really good next year. And I think the Browns led the league in just – I feel like every single one of their offensive linemen got hurt.
Yeah, they were playing guys that I'm pretty sure were on the practice squad.
Yeah, Blake.
Like, 2 weeks ago that they would bring in. I saw one funny stat that was like, what's his name? Hance?
Yeah,
was
Blake
that the guy's
Hance.
Blake Hance. Hance, they listed all of his career stats, which were basically like two games played or whatever, and then playoff wins, one. Joe Thomas, zero.
That sucks.
That was tough. But Joe Thomas, you have to give some love to the offensive line win stat.
Yes.
I don't feel like that gets talked about enough because we do it with quarterbacks. We should start doing it with, like, left guards.
Yes, I agree. So the big story, though, coming out of this game, obviously, is Mahomes. He hurts his foot, his toe, and then he gets concussed. Now, our doctor, who is actually not here because he is sick.
He has the cocoa.
Yeah, so Billy Football, who's not here, his tweet was, my not-a-doctor diagnosis. I like that he just clarified he wasn't a doctor. Mm-hmm. People actually thought Billy might be a doctor.
Well, I mean, his Twitter handle is like Billy Hot Takes.
Yeah.
And then his name is Berserker Billy.
No, Billy No Way Jose.
Billy No Way Jose. And then he's got a cartoon of the guy that stormed the Capitol as his avatar.
And he's holding chickens in his avatar. But yeah. So my not-a-doctor diagnosis, Mahomes fell on the ball, knocking the wind out of him. His brain is fine, just shook up, will return when wind is back.
His brain is just shook up, not a concussion.
Yeah, dude.
Important distinction.
He got the wind knocked out of him.
Well, I read that, and I read it out loud to you guys. I was like, hey, guys, don't worry. I think Mahomes is coming back in the game.
Yeah.
Billy was wrong about that. And don't worry about us. Billy contracted it from a sparring partner on Friday night after he had been around us.
We all tested negative today.
Although it would be very poetic if Billy killed us.
Yes.
If Billy, like, was a dumbass.
Well, we all just had that moment.
And we all died.
Hank and I were talking this morning, like, of course this is how it's gonna, like, happen.
Yeah.
Like, Billy's a fucking asshole. Like, of course. He's probably going to find the new strain.
Yeah.
He probably is going to go search for the new strain
mm-hmm.
and kill us all. I think Mahomes will be fine.
He's definitely going to, like,
keep his sample. Like, he's going to be like, I need to
spit into a fucking petri dish.
He's going to breed COVID in his body just in case.
He's keeping that in the grit fridge for sure.
Yeah, he's going to. He's definitely going to start a new pandemic in like 2 years once we figure it all out.
Oh, I can't believe you drank that Body Armor water. That was actually my saliva from the last 3 weeks.
Oh, fuck, dude. Did you just pet that chicken? Oh, shit, that's my COVID chicken. You shouldn't have done that.
He's got
17 different types of diseases.
I wanted to infect him with a Billy strand of corona because it's built different.
Yeah.
And, the doctors were, like, super impressed because it was bigger. The virus is bigger.
I'm trying to make a bioweapon in case I ever need it. All right.
Hope you're better, brother.
Mahomes. Who cares? I think Mahomes will be fine.
I don't think he's going to play.
Okay, well, Andy Reid said that he's doing great.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, looks like he's playing.
But that's
here's the thing, but that's
why he's going to play though. PFT.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Like he's?
Oh, I know that Goodell. Like yes,
he's going to play.
They're going to put two charts in front of Goodell. And
the doctors aren't stopping him from
playing.
Right.
Exactly.
And so he's not going to stop himself. Right.
It'll be like here's the future where you let Patrick Mahomes play in the AFC Championship game. Just a picture, a Photoshop of Roger Goodell on a new Ski-Doo.
Right.
Like, well, okay. Yeah, I think I'll try to do that, but. I don't know, man. He looked really woozy getting up.
He's going to play.
And getting walked off the field. 1 week, I don't have the stats in front of me, but look up how often a player gets a concussion and plays the next week.
Again, it doesn't matter. He's going to play. Like, they're already... I'm not saying it's right. What I'm saying is he's going to play.
Well,
Andy Reid's already planting the seed. Andy Reid's like, hey, he's doing fine. He's doing really great. The quote is actually, I just talked to him. He's doing good. But right now, we'll see how he is tomorrow, but right now he's feeling good.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid said he's doing great right now, which is real positive. Passed all the deals that he needs to pass, so we'll see where it goes from here. He could play tonight. Well, like, the way the Chiefs are talking, he's going
to
play.
The NFL's concussion doctors have always said that they would have cleared JFK to re-enter the parade.
Yes.
They would have been like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're good.
He's just nicked up. Yeah.
Yeah, the crowd wants to see him. They're going nuts for him. Put him back out there.
So you take that back, right?
I still think it's not as cut and dry as you think it is.
He's going to play. There's no way the Chiefs are not. Like, Patrick Mahomes is going to play.
Here's the reason.
Unless Patrick Mahomes himself says, I don't want to play, which
he could. Because
he could. So but if it's even 50-50 and Patrick Mahomes is like, I want to play, he's
going to
play.
So Patrick Mahomes is probably going to want to play even if he shouldn't play.
Correct.
The only thing that's making me think maybe not is the Chiefs have so much invested in terms of the amount of money that they have to pay him.
Nope.
What are they paying him, like $500 million?
Flags fly forever. They don't want to end up being like Drew Brees.
I don't
know. And
just have
one championship.
I think if they hadn't won last year, I'd be more on your side in saying that they're
gonna
put care to make it interesting.
I would be shocked if he didn't play. I'd be shocked.
I will.
Actually, I don't think... Can we bet on this?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I think that gaming commissions tend to frown on...
concussions.
So, Hank, we totally won't make a bet on this.
Again, I'm not saying...
Absolutely not.
He should. It's
I would
right.
like one of your historical jumpsuits.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying, like, hey, like, don't be a man, go play. I'm just saying he's going to play.
I get your dog.
All of it?
I get your dog for a week.
All of it?
I get to have Normie in my apartment for a week.
All right, fine.
If he does not play,
deal.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna take so many hostage videos. I'm gonna set up like an ISIS flag.
No
in the
one
video
tell
behind
Maria
him and
about
just
this.
Hold him next to a newspaper.
We'll keep this between us.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Do not tell
Hank's girlfriend.
All right. So yeah, it was. I mean, Chad Henne, the run 3.0 now. That was incredible.
Yep.
Like, the fact that he had those wheels. And then Andy Reid. Like,
Swag Henny, please.
Swag Henny. That's the difference right there between, like, winning football and losing football. He knows that, why would I punt this back? Why would I do that? When I have all these guys on the field that can get open and make one play. And I loved it. Well, they did the fake out. They did the fake out.
So they faked out Tony Romo, too.
Yeah.
Tony Romo was Jim, they got all the momentum, Jim. They're not going to run a play on this one, Jim. No way. They're going to do a hard count,
Jim. I wish you hadn't brought up his name. He was so insufferable.
He was over the top.
Oh, my God.
I wish I loved anything as much as Tony Romo loves momentum in football. Right? Like, Patrick Mahomes got concussed, and they walked him off the field, and Tony Romo was like, I feel a little momentum swing here. I think the momentum – yeah, the MVP, the best player in the NFL – is now out of the game. So that probably has something to do with it.
Stop just going crazy, Patrick or Tony Romo.
But that last play call that Andy Reid had where he let Chad Henne throw the ball, it's not like he was even trusting Chad Henne that much. He was just trusting the rest of the team to get open and then Chad Henne to make probably the easiest throw that he's ever made in his life.
That's part of the going back, and I hate to go back to the punt.
But it did take nuts, though.
Like, yeah, no, it took
shout
nuts.
Shout out to Andy Reid's nuts.
But when people were saying, you got to punt it back to Chad Henne, it's not Chad Henne. It's the Kansas City Chiefs who have Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and they have Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy calling plays. Like, it's not just Chad Henne. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, oh, we're just going to kick it back to Chad Henne. He's going to flounder back there. And I know he threw that ridiculous. I loved it. That was such awesome interception. Fuck it. I'm just throwing this. It was like a Rex Grossman interception. Yeah. But I still, the Chiefs have so many fucking weapons. And that first drive by the Chiefs was like, oh, yeah, we forgot the Chiefs.
Yeah. It's also just great to have a guy named Chad in the league.
Yes.
Anytime there's a Chad around, anything could happen on any given play. Chad is a guy that trusts himself a little bit too much, but it's fun to watch him fail sometimes.
Yes.
And that's what that deep interception was.
Yes.
We should talk a little bit about the best rule in football. The fumble through the end zone touchback rule. Everyone says it's a bad rule. Everyone says, actually, I think 99.9% of people who discuss it say that it's the worst rule in sports. I disagree. I think that it's not a bad rule. In fact, I think it's a good rule. I like the rule. First of all, let me just throw this one out there. It's chaotic, and I like chaos.
Yes.
I like anything that creates chaos. But besides that, it's the only rule that favors the defense at all. We talked about it with the NCAA championship game. The way that the game's going, like, every rule change is in favor of the offense.
Correct.
Within 5 years, you'll be able to drive a car on the field if you play wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one rule that, on defense, it gives you, like, a little bit of... It's definitely an unfair rule, but it's the only unfair rule that's unfair in favor of the defense. And also, when you get into the end zone, weird shit happens in the end zone. If you're on offense, the rules are different. When it comes to, like, what is a catch, when it comes to extending the ball for a touchdown, rules are different for an offensive player. For a defensive player, they should be different, too. Like, if you fumble the ball through the end zone, why not have it favor... Now, I'm saying this even though I was betting and
rooting on the Browns. Oh, you were so happy that the Browns fumbled
not.
Out of the
I
end
was
zone?
Absolutely
PFT
not.
Was like, fuck you, Browns, this is a lie. All you Browns
this,
fans.
This is a lie. I think it was on a live stream. But I was disappointed that it affected the Browns, but character is who you are when no one's watching. And even,
Rico Bosco.
Even though... No, that was on my high school weightlifting.
No, Rico Bosco came up with it.
That was on my wall.
Right, they stole it from
Rico
Bosco.
At my high school.
And they stole it from Rico Bosco.
Weightlifting room.
Right, and they stole it from character, Rico Bosco.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm going to assume that you're lying about this. But I'm still in favor of it, even when it inconveniences. But I may disagree with what you say, sir, but I will defend to your death... The right to say it.
I like, that's why you think that Parler should be back up.
The what?
Parler.
No, I'm on Gab now.
Okay,
big,
nice. Gab.
Big Gab
you gabbing it?
Yeah.
No, I love that it just makes everyone mad. It's so funny because, like, we know the rule exists. And guess what? When I've proposed that there should be little nets that you can throw a ball into.
Mm-hmm.
But until that happens, and this one was different than, like, the lunge where a guy takes a risk, because this one, it was clear targeting, and that was what caused, like, the crown of the helmet was what caused
yes.
the fumble.
Yeah, that was,
so that
was
bullshit.
That should have been a penalty.
Yeah, but I agree with you.
What I'm saying does not, like, yes, that was absolutely a penalty. It's funny how, like, if you're a Browns player and you take a helmet and swing it at somebody, they call that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody just hits you with theirs, they won't.
I agree. It's chaos. And people get really, really mad. And it's the funniest part is, like, people get really, really mad. Like, it surprises them. Like,
yeah.
We all know this is the rule.
Yeah.
We all knew the minute it happened. We're like, oh, fuck. I do think it would be funny. Maybe there's the intermaction in me. But the offense should get to keep the ball. But it should be third and 50 from the 50. Third and goal from the 50.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. That would just be fun.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just make it a real weird fucked up play.
Right. Because most of the time we'll end up being a punt and they would get the defense would end up getting the ball anyway.
Uh-huh.
But just seeing third and goal from the 50 would just be so much fun.
How about this? The defense gets the ball, but instead of a touchback, it's snapped from the goal line. No, it snapped
by the defense.
It snaps 5 yards into the end zone is the line of scrimmage. And if you don't get out, then it's the offense's ball on a reverse touchback on the 20.
I like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen the ball snapped from the end zone.
Yeah.
That'd be cool as shit.
Danilowski would be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Jay Glazer. So the seeds are being sown here.
Sowed.
Jay Glazer on Patrick Mahomes. The thought is he will be okay to play. It was almost like he got choked out. Not so much a concussion, but still has to go through the protocol. He was trying to get himself back in the game. There's a lot of confidence. He'll be ready to go next week. They are laying the groundwork. Patrick Mahomes didn't even... They are... Actually, you know what? What's going to end up happening is Roger Goodell's just going to hire Billy Football to administer the concussion test. They'll be like, who was the first to say Patrick Mahomes didn't get concussed? He just got the wind knocked out of him. Oh, this guy, Berserker Billy?
Yeah.
Hi, get him to Kansas City ASAP.
Little pro tip, Roger. Just say, like, give a press conference. Be like, we've seen numerous reports. I've read a lot of reports out there that there wasn't actually a concussion. Dude, they are splitting hairs.
He got choked
out. It does sound like they're saying, like, the difference between a choke hold and, like, a choke slam.
Oh, my God.
So they're saying he got guillotined is what they're saying.
Yeah.
And that's what the issue was.
This is so funny watching Jay, like, be like, listen, guys, it wasn't a concussion. He just got, it was like a, you know, you ever eat a fucking tortilla chip and it goes down the wrong pipe? That's essentially what happened to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
he's fine. Needs a glass of water. He's good to go.
I don't know if I'm going to trust a guy whose jaw goes into his shoulders to diagnose a neck injury. Jay, I love you, but I don't think you have a neck to injure.
And Patrick Mahomes is tweeting. So.
Oh, there you go.
I'm telling you, the NFL would never allow an AFC championship game to be played with Chad fucking Henne. Come on.
What are the historical jumpsuits again? I want to make sure I get
shut up, Hank. I'm going to get your dog. I'm going to dress it up in really choked embarrassing
out
clothes.
Choked out is so funny to be like an obvious concussion we all watch.
So when we saw it, his head hit the ground.
Yep.
And then if there was a choke that was somehow applied to his neck in the middle of the rollover that the defender did, which, yeah, maybe you could say there was pressure put on the neck, but at the most, it lasted for a half second. At the most.
Oh, God, the NFL is so fucking funny. I bet you Goodell had, like, an emergency conference call the minute it happened. Like, all right, guys, what do we got? What do we got? And then some lackey piped in and was like, we could say he got choked out. Good. Get it to Glazer. Let's fucking go. Everyone get to work. He got choked out. No league like it, baby. Love it. Oh, man. He's going to play. He's probably going to fucking torch the Bills. God damn it.
Not going to happen.
No. The Bills have their best game in them. They're going to win. I love the Buffalo Bills. All right. Let's get to some coaching carousel talk. Before we do that, PFT, what are you drinking these days?
You know what I'm drinking. I'm drinking Coors, baby. I'm drinking Coors, Coors Light, Coors Seltzer. I actually really like Coors Seltzer. It's the coldest tasting seltzer in America. Fact check that one,
Fact
Smokes.
Check.
It tastes fact colder. That is absolutely a fact. Coors Seltzer isn't your average seltzer. They're on a mission to restore America's rivers. How about that? Coors Seltzer is launching the world's easiest volunteer program. Whatever you're doing, by simply cracking open a can of Coors Seltzer, you're volunteering. That's incredible. So you can save rivers by just drinking a bunch of Coors Seltzer on your couch. Each 12-pack of Coors Seltzer restores 500 gallons of fresh water to U.S. rivers and the communities that depend on them. Our waterways are at risk, people. 80% of America's rivers are drying up. Through a partnership with Change the Course, Coors Seltzer is helping to protect and restore America's rivers. In the very first year, they plan to support projects that will restore 1 billion gallons of water across 19 river basins all across the U.S. They have 4 refreshing flavors, 1 cool cause. Enjoy their naturally flavored black cherry, their mango, their lemon lime, and their grapefruit. Excuse me. The specs are in. Coors Seltzer is 4.5% ABV, only 90 calories per 12 ounces. Join the world's easiest volunteer program by drinking Coors Seltzer. You can volunteer to restore America's rivers. If you're volunteering, tweet me a picture of you drinking a Coors Seltzer. You're saving a river. You're saving fish. You're saving communities that depend on that river. And all you have to do is drink the coldest tasting seltzer in the entire world. Visit CoorsSeltzer.com. Find Coors Seltzer near you. That's CoorsSeltzer.com. For every 12-pack sold through 8/31/2021, Coors will purchase services from Change the Course to restore 500 gallons of fresh river water. Details at CoorsSeltzer.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay, Let's talk a little coaching carousel. Let's talk a little football guy of the week. And then we'll do some who's back of the week. So, Urban Meyer was hired. Urban Meyer. I'm ready for this. This is me growing as a man. I'm gonna say that Urban Meyer won't be an abject failure. Now,
okay. What does that mean?
I think Urban Meyer will get to the Jags to a AFC Championship game.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's a strong. Blake Bortles did that.
I think he. I don't know if he'll last more than 5 years. That feels like a long time, doesn't it, for Urban Meyer?
Oh yeah, I mean five months would be.
I was thinking about it more. You know, I still don't. I don't really know how. Like, if I were the Jags, I wouldn't have hired him. But now that it's done, they have a ton of draft capital. They basically have a roster that he can mold himself. They have Trevor Lawrence.
He's got all the connections with the local police departments down there in Northern Florida that he can get people out of trouble for.
Yep. He's making a bet on, will Trevor Lawrence be a very good professional football player? And I am down on that bet. Like, I think he will. So it would be foolish for me to say Urban Meyer is going to suck if I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be good. Mm-hmm. That's a very hard walk to do, to be like, Trevor Lawrence is going to be awesome, Urban Meyer is going to suck. So I'm going to make fun of him when he decides to quit out of the blue.
Is he going to have a new contract with his family that he's going to put into place?
I made fun of all the people who told me that he was never coaching again after he said that. You know, he was done coaching 2 years ago because the guy will just keep coming back for more. But I do think he will have success, and because I believe in Trevor Lawrence. Really, it's more of a I believe in Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to his first apology, because nobody apologizes for things mm-hmm. like Urban Meyer does, because he's a big time, I'm sorry that you're asking me to apologize. That's like his statement that he'll release yes. whenever he needs to say I'm sorry yes. for something. I'm also very much looking forward to Urban Meyer trying to figure out how to navigate a system where he isn't Mr. Urban Meyer, end-all, be-all of everything.
Correct.
Because he still doesn't have, like, personnel say.
Right.
At the end of the day, that's going to come down to the cons.
Deshaun Kahn, yeah.
Who own the team. They've got a bigger boat than he does, probably.
Fact.
Urban Meyer is going to have to learn how to be second banana. I don't think that's in his system. Urban Meyer, I don't think he'll last longer than 3 years in the NFL.
I think it's three and a half. Three and a half is the over-under.
You got to put, like, quarter year. Like, mm-hmm. 3 years and 5 weeks. Three years, and then after a primetime loss to the Falcons.
Right. And it's going to be great to watch Urban Meyer interact with other coaches. That will be funny.
Because mm-hmm. he'll be hoping for, like, the respect that he was getting as a college coach.
Right.
Where he's, like, multiple championship winner, Urban Meyer.
Thanks. He is good friends with Bill Belichick, I think, but I don't think anyone else is going to be like, hey, Urban, you're the best.
Yeah.
He's never coaching the pros. So it just makes football more interesting, though. Urban Meyer being in the pros definitely adds a little something interesting. Brandon Staley got hired by the Chargers.
We thought it was going to be Brian Daboll,
yep.
But it was, I guess they're going the defense route.
Yep.
He doesn't have to move across the country.
I like that hire just because I just assume if you work for Sean McVay and Sean McVay plucked you out, that you probably have the brains to do it. So
what are they going to do on the offensive side?
Who cares?
They're going to have
hire Brian Daboll.
I was going to say Schottenheimer. Get Schottenheimer down there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because the Seahawks fired him because Pete Carroll was like, we need to reestablish the run.
And someone needs to take the blame.
I'm going to be establishing the fuck out of the run now that I don't have an offensive coordinator who tries to tell me to let Russ cook all the time.
Right.
So if you want to get Herbert, like, throwing the ball more often, which I don't know if that's even going to be possible, like, he's the guy that you want down there.
Yep.
So they might go that route, but yeah, I don't mind going with a defensive guy when everybody else goes off.
Yeah, a little zig and zag. Yeah,
because eventually the guy that zags is going to be right.
Yes, I agree. And then Dan Campbell, maybe Dan Talica, maybe the Lions head coach, which will be hilarious because Dan Talica, greatest power stance of all time, kind of like we made fun of him as an interim head coach. By all accounts, everyone loves him and says he's like a phenomenal locker room guy,
yes.
coach, but there is something funny about the fact that Dan Talica will 100% do the Oklahoma drill, which is what Matt Patricia did his first day as the Lions head coach.
Yeah, so Dan Campbell, he's the world's biggest Metallica fan. When he took over as interim head coach in Miami, It was Miami, right?
Yep.
Yeah. He had all the players put on black jerseys.
Yep.
Because he fucking loves Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
And they blasted Metallica at practice. He would, like, get into shoving matches with his players during practice.
Yep.
They built the entire plane out of the interim head coach. I'm excited to see what happens because they're going with the mindset of, like, we tried hiring a rocket scientist. Now we're going to hire the guy that kicked his ass in high school.
Yeah, the meathead. And Dan Talica is a meathead, and I fucking love him for it. And then the Texans. Oh, I guess Robert Saleh to the Jets. I got nothing on that. Seems like a good hire.
That might be the Zag hire.
That seems like a really good hire.
Yeah.
So that was that does seem like and it's funny because he has to say that he likes Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah.
He has to say it.
He's
your only quarterback.
Yes, right, you can't say otherwise. Unless, yeah. But he's probably going to try to trade for him immediately.
Already.
Robert Saleh also has one of the greatest holdback guys in all of sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope he's bringing that dude with him because that guy had a radar lock on his belt out of San Francisco.
He's the same thing with Brandon Staley. Like if you worked for Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay,
yeah.
I just assume that you probably have some smarts to you.
Yes. Yeah.
That's just kind of
put Robert Saleh in the Ninja Turtle meme. He's right. Also another guy that surpassed McVay.
And then the Houston Texans, who have had probably like the worst week of any of the NFL teams. That's including teams that lost in the playoffs. Deshaun Watson definitely wants out. I read an article. They essentially got hijacked by like a chaplain.
Jack Easterby, he went into the office and made Cal McNair pray with him.
They pray for
his own future
to find a good head coach.
Yes.
It's crazy. It made me feel a little bit better about how dysfunctional the Bears are, the fact that the Texans are being they essentially like the owner got duped by a guy who's like reading palms
yeah.
and being like, "Hey, here's what our future tells us."
This makes me
maybe
feel,
I should coach.
Yeah, it makes
me Jack Easterby
feel awesome about rooting for a franchise whose owner is so clearly aligned with Satan
right.
that he would never bring a dude in to like pray to
it's
God.
It's crazy.
It is nuts. So Jack Easterby is essentially making the McNair family pray with him for his own success.
It's crazy.
And then
crazy.
Guess what? If you fire Jack Easterby after that prayer,
yep.
you're spitting on God.
Yep.
You get whatever bad things.
You fired God.
You fired God.
You can't do that.
I'm Jack Easterby. You don't fire God.
Holy shit.
I mean,
what a shit show.
Credit to Jack Easterby.
Yeah.
Like, this dude sounds like he's like a little Rasputin type guy.
Mm-hmm. He's got a little bit of a
hammer cock.
And then I read an article about the Eagles who are going to have they're going to have to hire someone, and it all kind of made sense because Howie Roseman has a fat head of Carson Wentz in his office.
That's got to be an interesting interview.
And essentially was like he essentially has just been like, yeah, Carson Wentz is the best quarterback of all time, even though he hasn't won a play. He's played like six uh-huh. snaps in the playoffs. There was one line in it that was like Howie Roseman treats Carson Wentz like he won that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's a problem.
Yeah. So
they chose him.
I heard that Josh McDaniels was interviewing like all day today in Philly.
In Philly.
That must be a strange thing to walk in, sit down. There's a fat head of Carson Wentz. And the owner goes, so what would your plans be for our offense next
year? What do you think about the quarterback situation?
Josh McDaniels is probably, if the interview lasted so long, he's probably put a chloroform rag in their face and then has been like trying to laser off all the Carson Wentz tattoos off of Howie Roseman.
He's like, hey, so Josh, you've, you know, worked a lot in offensive football. How good do you think you can make Carson Wentz? Now, mind you, he is already incredible, but yeah, talk to me about that.
How many more Super Bowls do you think you could get Carson Wentz
already
win?
Has one yeah. Super Bowl, so you think he had three?
Probably be elite if he like he pretty much won an MVP. So how many more do you think he could put in his trophy case?
It was crazy.
Carson Wentz is probably in the interview.
Yes, he's probably sitting. He's probably sitting behind
yeah.
Josh McDaniels.
Yeah,
like wrong answer. I don't want to run that play.
God.
Oh, man. Dysfunction everywhere. All right, let's do football now, guy of the week. Oh, what were you saying?
I was going to say, going back real quick to the Texans thing.
Yeah.
Stay very woke, because isn't like Nick Cassero, he's their new GM?
Yes.
I feel like the Texans are just hiring as many people as they can.
Well, that was part of it, too. They hired
so many people that just work in the front office, then you can't blame me, Jack Easterby.
Well, they also hired a search firm for their GM,
right.
And then Nick Cassero wasn't. Like, the search firm didn't interview Nick Cassero. Jack Easterby just went and hired him.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So
they've been hijacked. It's fucking crazy.
The Caserio thing seems like a big-time Belichick, Ernie Adams operation, where it's like, we're going to send Caserio down there, and then he's going to trade us to Deshaun Watson for, like, a fifth-round pick.
Right, right, right. And then he'll come back in 2 years when he fails.
Yep.
Yes. Okay, let's do Football Guy of the Week, and then we will wrap up with who's back of the week. Jake, Football Guy of the Week, via Billy?
Via Billy, okay. Yes. Right. Billy is doing a good job with this. First up, I guess former/current Chiefs player Lauren Duvernay-Tardif, who I believe is sitting out due to COVID.
Dr. Tardif?
Yes. He was lifting in the snow while on the front lines with first responders.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay, staying in football guy shape.
Yes. Greg Roman from the Ravens, bringing the perfect buzz concoction up to the booth. He had the dip up in the booth. NBC called it.
This is Billy's.
Yeah, it's Billy just being like, oh, chewing tobacco.
Didn't do his
sweet
job. Yeah, football guy. Wow, he dips.
I do like the bench pressing out like on the front lines.
This is right when I figured. I figured Billy had a good first football guy of the week, and then it would just start to trail off.
Wade Phillips, who tweeted, "I am ready to retire from retirement. I am ready and available. Let's win."
Okay, so
the guy asking for a job. Billy's and for the record, I would hire him.
He is ruined football guy of the week. Okay.
And then lastly, Cole Beasley, who said, "When I had to watch Week 17, it tore me up. I told them there was no way I was watching another game. The pain I felt watching that game mentally was worse than any pain I was going to feel physically."
Yeah, okay. That's not bad.
It's getting halfway there. Yeah. All right, good job, Billy.
It's just like if Billy wrote a book about himself, like a fantasy book of like Billy succeeding at the highest levels of athletics that he wanted to.
Yep.
He would include all these little anecdotes.
He also
as
just
that he does.
He also just didn't have enough, and then was watching football on Saturday night.
He did
like,
ask,
is that guy dipping.
He did ask me for a few. So
yeah,
I just
of course.
Hashtag football guy and sent him like four.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Before we get to who's back of the week, are you protecting yourself, PFT, when you are
dude,
online?
You know, I'm always protecting myself.
Yep.
Like, if there's one thing that I know about, it's protection. And when I'm online, when I'm playing Warzone. Almost got a dub in Warzone the other night, guys. I got second place in Rebirth Minis solos. It's fucking sick.
You're cracked.
I'm cracked. GG's in the chat.
Yep.
Right? Dubs in the chat. Got second place. It was sweet. And when I'm gaming, I'm...
Well, no GG's for second, but...
What? Who was that?
No GG's for second.
I don't get GG's for second?
I mean, you get GG's, but like, you know, let's not... promote
but they're not
coming
Fs,
in second place.
But I don't get Fs in the chat.
No, but, you know, PFT, second place. Like, let's get that first.
Okay. Well, when I'm gaming, you know, I'm using Norton 360 for gamers. And if you unwrap the new gaming PC or new device this holiday season, you got to make sure it's not too exposed if you are excited to use them. Hackers could be too. New devices mean new opportunities for hackers to steal your information or spy on you over Wi-Fi. I don't want people taking my loadout. My loadout is mine. It's protected. I will not let anyone snoop on it. I will not let them steal my proprietary information. And what you think is private and secure might not be. Protect your gaming computer and all your devices from malware and nerf cyber threats that could take over your username and steal your passwords with Norton 360 for Gamers. Norton 360 for Gamers is a comprehensive solution designed by gamers. Provide security for your PC and devices, a VPN for your online privacy, you get dark web monitoring for your gamer tags, and more, all with fewer notifications so you don't get distracted during play. No one can prevent all cybercrime, but Norton 360 for Gamers is your ally to ring in a cyber-safe new year. Save 20% on your first year at norton.com/gamers by using promo code PMT. That's norton.com/gamers, promo code PMT. Get 20% off with Norton. And who's back is going to be brought to you by Jack Pocket. We love Jack Pocket. If you like playing the Mega Millions and Powerball, the jackpots are now worth over $500 million each. $500 million each. That's a lot of money. That is a ton of money, and that's where Jack Pocket Lottery app comes in. Jack Pocket lets you play official state lottery games right on your phone. Play Powerball, Mega Millions, Cash for Life, Pick 10, and other daily games right on your phone. It's live now. It's available in New York. Live in 10 states total, including New Jersey, Texas, and more. Safe and easy way to get your lotto tickets. Play your own lucky numbers. Jack Pocket checks your numbers and notifies you if you've won. You can instantly withdraw your winnings from your bank account. Over 20 million in prizes have been won on the app, and now it's $500 million. $500 million you can win if you play with Jack Pocket. Play tonight's Mega Million or Powerball jackpot for free using promo code Barstool. Wow, we might give you $500 million.
Play for free using promo code Barstool. Download the app. Use promo code Barstool at checkout. Download for free at the App Store. Go to jackpocket.com. Must be 18 or older to play. See jackpocket.com for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. The Mega Millions and Powerball jackpots are now worth over $500 million each.
Okay, let's wrap up. We got Who's Back of the Week. Hank.
Got a couple. First one, Max Holloway. He won a fight on Saturday night. And
on ABC, yeah.
On ABC, he was talking shit to Dana White mid-fight while throwing combinations. It was like one of the cockiest fighter moves I've ever seen. That's awesome. Cool to see.
Somehow not as cocky as the other time that he fought when he was giving the guy instructions during the fight while beating his ass.
I thought, I mean, this was crazy. He was literally like, he was no-look punching, essentially.
He would go nuts if Patrick Mahomes did that.
Right, exactly. Matthew, who's back the week, is James Harden.
Matt Stafford does it and no one says anything.
Yeah, and Max Holloway would never get choked out.
And McGregor's fighting this week, so just, you know, big week.
he got choked out.
Big week for the UFC.
Choked out from the back of his neck. Oh, my God.
Big week it was a for glancing blow to his neck.
Unbelievable.
He's and got a, it's actually his shoulder, not his neck at all.
And James Harden's back. Had a triple-double in his first game with the Nets. Looks skinny as shit.
And, oh, looks my good as God. New. Now, I saw this, and people were roasting it, and I was shocked as well.
Roasting what?
Well, so he was very fat like 3 days ago.
New bod.
And then he was very skinny. I can understand it. It happens.
Not
water weight.
Not to that extent.
He was just wearing, it was really just, if
the red is not a slimming color, because if you wear, see a guy in red, you look, it's like, oh, that's a Kool-Aid man.
Yeah, if you wear a shirt that's too tight, things can look really, really bad. So it was so funny, though. It was so fucking funny. The fact that he's on the Nets now, the Nets are going to be fun to watch.
It's great. And, I mean, I do have a couple theories about him. One was that he was wearing some sort of, like, vest. Sort of weight-bearing vest.
It's layers, dude.
He had, like, 9 wife beaters on underneath his jersey. That's actually a possibility.
Remember?
That might have happened.
Remember the NLCS 2015 when I got fucking roasted? Layers. And I was like, dude, it's layers. And people were like, dude, what are you talking about, layers? Like, I was wearing 17 shirts. That can happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm in on that.
So the other theory I have is that he's got a twin brother. Okay. I think he just might have a fat twin.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, hey, I need to get out of Houston. You mind stepping in my uniform and absolutely suck? Like, go out there and try your hardest.
Yeah.
And it'll look like I really, really suck.
It's also, he can deceptively change how people see him because he's got the beard. Like, you can always tell when someone's had a rough weekend from their face. You can't tell with James Harden's face.
Yeah.
So if he sticks his gut out a little bit, like, I bet you if he had a shaved beard, I bet you we wouldn't be thinking like, oh my God, he lost all that weight. He probably looks about the same.
Whatever happened, like,
the
4 days between 4 weeks ago and today, there's something, like, he might have just drank a shitload of that diarrhea tea.
He might also just, like, as someone whose body reacts poorly to carbohydrates, like, if I go 2 days without eating carbs, I do look 5 pounds lighter.
Is
that easy?
Do you think that maybe if it is the twin theory, that was his twin in the playoff game that came out there that one really weird time.
Who also likes to do drugs.
I think that he's got just like a fat slob of a twin brother that he just puts in for himself, like the copy of the copy from Multiplicity. He's like, when I need to really fuck something up.
Played like it,
better call this guy.
Yeah, such a funny, I mean, the whole, we win.
Yes.
The viewers win. All right, who's your who's back, PFT?
My who's back of the week is Deshaun Watson photoshops. Every team has him. Every team. So I don't care who you are, unless you're like,
again, the Bears were the first.
Unless you're one of the top 5 quarterback-led teams in the NFL, there's a Deshaun Watson Photoshop. And there probably is. Actually, those are the ones I haven't seen. I haven't seen a Chiefs one yet. I haven't seen a Bills one yet. I haven't seen a Packers one. I would like to see those franchises get involved in the sweepstakes, because the Photoshops, they make me feel alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's great looking at a Photoshop of a player in a jersey that's not the current one that he's wearing, because it's like, hey, this could be new.
This is cool.
This could be changed.
This is different.
But I fucking love the Deshaun Watson Photoshop. I hope that he chooses where he goes based strictly on which Photoshop
Chicago
is the best.
Yeah. Give him everything.
My other who's back of the week is horny Darren Revelle.
Oh,
actually, boy. No. I'm going to put him as our podcast baby Braun of the week.
Oh, my God.
Baby Revelle is our baby Braun of the week. He put up this Instagram story on Friday, I believe. It's a picture of him as a 3-year-old with his arm around a 3-year-old girl. and he just looks like a pimp. I'm just going to call it as I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Darren is a fucking, boss. He's a fucking pimp in this picture. He says, older throwback, January 1982. I was 3. I always loved girls. Never thought they were disgusting. This was my friend Leslie at the pool at Woodmont Country Club in Tarmac, Florida. I need help finding her to catch up. Guessing she's 45 now. So, Leslie, if you're out there...
God damn it, man.
This could be a nice love connection, a nice sleepless in Seattle moment. Leslie, you remember that 3-year-old that just rocked your world from the pool?
Because he thought you didn't have cooties?
Yeah, the guy who didn't even need to wear floaties in the shallow end. That guy is on the prowl right now. And he is a sports business reporter, as if you needed another reason to get back with him.
It's sports gambling reporter.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. Really good at that.
A lot of cards. He's just, this actually is I would throw this in the like positive for Ravel, because Ravel does, hear me out. Ravel does things that are so fucking stupid and annoying that you're like, this guy can't be real. And then he does something like this and you're like, oh, he really isn't real. Because he thinks that was normal. And he's like, he doesn't think what he was doing was creepy.
Yeah.
So it almost helps him in a backwards way, because you're like, okay, his brain is broken. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not his fault.
Right. It's not his fault. It's not. In he the does same this way- every now and then where it's like, you know what? Hand up. That was, even for you, Darren, that was so ridiculous and stupid and out of control and you defended it. So now I can't even be mad at you because it's so crazy.
It's crazy in a way that is, it makes it a legally sound setup for if he ever has to plead insanity.
Mm-hmm.
He can point back to this.
Like, I was stalking the 3-year-old.
And then they're like, yeah. He's like, hey, well, Your Honor, may I submit Exhibit A? And it's just a picture of Darren Ravel trying to get with a girl that he thinks aged well from the age of 3.
Right.
He's like, she was hot for, Your Honor, you have to admit,
yes,
for a 3-year-old, when I was a 3-year-old,
and mind
she was
you,
hot.
Mind you, I liked girls even back then. So
not afraid of them.
Yeah. It's just, you know what I mean, though? When he does this, and then he doubles down and he defends it when everyone's like, hey, man, that's kind of weird. It actually makes me be like, okay, let's lay off Ravel, because it's like, it's such a lost cause.
You
can't even explain this to him.
You kind of sound like a beta, right? You sound like a guy that thought girls were disgusting.
No, I honestly sound like a guy who's just given up on, like, I'm so exhausted by him. His personality is exhausting.
I wouldn't be here without him.
True.
It's true.
He's just an exhausting... For a guy I don't have any real interaction with, he's an exhausting personality.
Imagine being Leslie right now. If you get a phone call from Darren Ravel, and he's like, hey, Leslie, you probably already know this from the sound of my voice, but it's me, Darren, from the kiddie pool. Remember me? I was 3. Wasn't afraid to talk to you.
Oh, my God. What would they even talk about?
She would divorce her husband immediately and get taken on a wild ride by the D-man.
Oh, he's the worst. My who's back of the week is
what a poon hound.
Well, I have a goatee, so goatees are back officially. I feel like I should be driving a Miata. And
you're a Braves relief pitcher from 1997.
Yeah, not paying child support.
Yeah,
that's the vibe I feel right now.
You can make all those things happen.
I could buy a Miata and be out of my son's life.
Yes,
if I wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, that
this goatee sticks longer.
The Van Dyke is your first step on that road.
Feels good. All right, Jake, end us with the who's back.
Average Joes, because Mike LaFleur was hired by the Jets, so everyone's on Twitter is making the same joke about Mike LaFleur, Adam LaFleur, and Peter LaFleur from Dodgeball.
Okay.
Ah,
got it.
So.
Oh, we didn't even say Arthur Smith got hired by the Falcons.
Oh, yeah.
They got two Arthurs.
Dude, he's got neck.
No neck. He looks.
They found the best picture of him, and it was the worst picture I've ever seen.
He looks like fat Nicolas Cage.
It's great. It's fucking great.
It's a wonderful hire, I think. Because
no neck is definitely a good hire.
Who knows?
If your football coach has no neck, that's a good hire. And his dad is richer than Arthur Blank.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
His dad can boss around his boss,
I meant Matt LaFleur, not Adam.
No, that's okay. We got it.
Yeah,
it was a mistake. A huge.
I corrected myself.
Well, but I mean.
You know what? This is what happens. Billy doesn't show up one time, and then Jake just lets everything.
Oh, yeah.
You got too comfortable, Jake.
Kind of ruined the show. It was a great show up until this point.
That's why we had Billy around, was to make you feel like he could take your job at any second.
All right, 100.
18.
8.
I hope we get it without
9.
Billy.
9. Ben has 21.
What'd you guys guess?
8.
9
8.
21.
47.
God damn it. A snail can sleep for 3 years at a time.
Wait, let me just check Uber Facts real quick.
Yeah.
And I just Googled animal facts, and that came up.
Did you know that squirrels actually, when they have nuts in their mouth?
It would take a swarm of about 1.1 million mosquitoes sucking at the same time to drain all the blood from an adult human.
Wait, let me do one. Let's all do one. Stupid animal facts. Animal facts.
A pig's orgasm lasts 30 minutes.
The African elephant is the largest living land-dwelling animal.
A bat can eat up to 1,000 insects per hour.
We're all on the same page.
Oh, wait, hang on. These are pretty good.
A snail can sleep for 3 years at a time.
Yeah, save him.
We got a whole week. Sick.
Just don't tell him where he is.
Polar bears have black skin and see-through fur. Love you guys.
Today's a night day to find you. Shine it away. I'll be coming for your love again. Shine it away. I'll be coming for your love again. Take on me. Take me on. I'll be gone. And I'll stay out too. Say it's no better to be safe than sorry. Say it to me. It's no better to be safe than sorry. Take on.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.